Blog Talk Radio.
I can't keep on hiding, but I can't reach the surface. Everybody's living different, I just can't compare. Too much left to bottle, took another shot of. Pushing it up, but I can't find a will to know.
I'm stuck, it's tough as every month. I don't really ask for much. I just need to, I just need to, I just need to touch. While I'm in this hole, I don't wanna watch it go.
No, I don't wanna watch it, I don't wanna watch it. They just tell me why I feel so stuck in my mind, but it's nothing. I can't change, no, I won't do it for no one. Driving, see you passing by. I just think that I deserve some change.
Welcome to Sports Kim. That was Maz and Aruda Tell Me. I'm your host, Jim Bravo the King. You can find me on Twitter at JBravoSK. And welcome to Sports Kingdom. You can find Sports Kim on Twitter at Sports Kingdom TV on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, Twitch, and YouTube at Sports Kim TV. Make sure to subscribe right now to one of the most comprehensive sports channels on YouTube. Get your sports fix today by subscribing to Sports Kim TV on YouTube. So before I get started, the number to the show, if you want to call in, is 516-418-5906. Again, it's 516-418-5906. Email to the show is skbtradio@gmail.com. And if you want to chat up, go ahead and chat up in the chat room. Just open it up. So welcome to Debate Wednesday. Let's get to our first topic. Should the Lakers start Patrick Beverley? Well, even though he's not much of a stat stuffer on paper, Patrick Beverley, he certainly knows how to get any team he's on going on the right path, the right direction. As we saw against the Portland Trailblazers the other night, Patrick Beverley, LeBron, the rest of the Lakers were able to lift themselves and from a huge deficit in the first half and turn that deficit from the first half into a positive second half to win over the Portland Trail Blazers. There was certainly some trash talk between Damian Lillard and Patrick Beverley during and after the game, but that all didn't matter because Patrick Beverley, he was able, along with, I believe, LeBron, to lift up his teammates and go, hey, we still got this. We can still win. And that's what happened. They went into Portland and they walked out winners. And the question is, should the Lakers start Patrick Beverley? Well, I see why not at this point. It's something new, refreshing, and something that could take the Lakers, I believe, a long way. If the Lakers were just to start Patrick Beverley, he may not score you points. He may not do all the fancy stuff, but he knows how to play good D and lock down a defender, and most of all, get the ball to his teammates when necessary. So I would say all along Russell Westbrook should be traded to the New York Knicks. I think the most obvious, the best trade partner the Lakers could possibly have is in the New York Knicks right now. The New York Knicks have a lot of young talent on their roster that could certainly complement LeBron James. I've done a trade once before where I had, you can go back on our YouTube page and check it out, but it was Joel Embiid to the Golden State Warriors, and I had a 14 deal with as part of Russell Westbrook going to the New York Knicks. I think he'd fare quite well there. And even if it doesn't work out for 1 year, I still think the Knicks could shed some salary and go after a big free agent next year's NBA free agency class. And I'm not so high on the roster right now, even though I think guys like RJ Barrett or Mitchell Robinson, for example, can even Cam Reddish, despite reports that Cam Reddish is likely to wind up with the Lakers, according to many trade rumors, that those three guys could definitely help benefit the Lakers and LeBron James. Three very young, talented guys. I'm not saying they're really talented, but I'm saying they're talented enough to go out, help LeBron, and possibly, who knows, win a championship. Right now, as it stands, RJ Barrett's player efficiency rating is at a 13, not where you'd want him trending right now. I think if I'm the Knicks, I'm assessing RJ Barrett's performances as of late and thinking that it may just be time to pull the trigger, it may just be time to trade RJ Barrett, even though the Knicks may be very well high on surrounding a future with RJ Barrett at the helm. I just don't think he could be a number one guy in New York. I think he could be a number two guy who can complement someone like LeBron James and do just all right to win ball games. But I also mentioned Mitchell Robinson. Mitchell Robinson, he can definitely come in there right away in Los Angeles and be a big X factor next to Anthony Davis. Help Anthony Davis out rebounding wise and physicality, so to speak. So Mitchell Robinson, RJ Barrett, Cam Reddish, you can shoot the ball lights out. Now former Dookie as well. I think there's a good possibility we could see a lineup such as Russell Westbrook, Evan Fournier, or if the next one mixes up, they can go on a three-man backcourt with a three-man rotational backcourt with Russell Westbrook, Jalen Brunson, and Evan Fournier for the time being make worth of what Evan Fournier is out on the court to do. I don't think the Knicks have necessarily used Evan Fournier the proper way, but at least in this deal, you could try and maneuver him around and see how he could do with Russell Westbrook, Jalen Brunson, Obi Toppin, who did affect okay. I thought the last slam dunk contest, even though he didn't win, but he definitely showcased some of his athletic skills and dunk skills especially. But Obi Toppin, Julius Randle, and then Hartenstein and Jericho Sims, they've been They've been doing all right lately. I think one of them should deserve a starting spot. The Knicks have three good centers on their depth chart, so figure you pull away Robinson, who I think at this point has reached a ceiling that he can definitely benefit out in Los Angeles. So next topic, what can Impact Wrestling do differently to stand out? Well, I think Impact Wrestling has been doing pretty damn good as of late. It just came off a wonderful pay-per-view, Hard to Kill, featured Bully Ray, Josh Alexander, Mickie James, Jordan Grace, and it was a well done pay-per-view put out by Impact Wrestling. And I just wonder nowadays, what can Impact Wrestling do differently to stand out from the rest of the pro wrestling industry? Well, they just recently did an Impact, which I reviewed on YouTube at SportsCam TV. And they did pretty well showcasing what Mike Bailey and Kenny King can do in the ring in a pit fight match in the main event. I think something like that's very interesting because these days I believe a lot of people are looking for that next submission or next knockout. Some people are not looking to I myself enjoy wrestling matches, long wrestling matches that are worthwhile, but there's some out there who just don't want to spend countless hours watching wrestling. And so my point being, what we saw on the main event of Impact the other day, a pit fight, was sort of like an MMA fight in a way, so to speak. And just by the entrances, the referee, the atmosphere, the dressed up mixed martial artists, Kenny King and Mike Bailey appeared to be. And so I think MMA style wrestling could be incorporated into something like Impact Wrestling and could fare pretty well on pay-per-view, I feel. Forget TV, if they were showcased this more on pay-per-view, I think they get maybe some new buyers, some new people interested. It's something different. I mean, we saw this before with Kurt Angle and Samoa Joe, but we never saw a pit fight. And so, I was just thinking it'd be cool if Impact brought back the six-sided ring, first of all, if they brought Six Sides of Steel back to Impact Wrestling, and most of all, brought or incorporated some type of MMA style wrestling to the program. Or I'm not saying TV, because I think you give too much away on TV, but on pay-per-view. And in fact, they could still run traditional pro wrestling TV shows, whether it's on Access or Paramount. But, I mean, I'm hoping Impact can get a TV deal at some point, because I feel like they put out one of the most entertaining shows right now in the entire wrestling industry. So I think highly of Impact, and just wish maybe something different like MMA-style wrestling can be incorporated and showcased by a guy like Mike Bailey, who does a ton of training as far as leg work is concerned or striking is concerned. Mike Bailey, he's a legit deal. He definitely has a lot of talent, a lot of momentum to possibly become a world champion someday. But you tell me in the comment section. I'm just opening up the chat room again, seeing. I don't have one person, but what could Impact Wrestling do differently to stand out? I just mentioned the six-sided ring, six sides of steel, and incorporating all that into a mixed martial arts style type of match. Everything you see with MMA today is quite fascinating, and see why not Impact brings that into the open. So, who won the Pablo Lopez Luis Arez trade? Well, I think the Marlins. I think the Marlins lost this trade because, first of all, they didn't do anything to improve their defense. Second of all, they go of Miguel Rojas. And thirdly, even though Arez should provide a deep boost of offensive energy, I think you got to wonder about the Marlins' defense here. They have Gene Segura, Jorge Solar, who's their designated hitter. They have Joey Wendell, who I don't view as much of a I don't view him that much in the sense that he can be a last long starter in Miami. But the Marlins, they do have Chaz Chisholm. Chaz Chisholm had said that he wanted to move away from second base. He wanted to get a big name at second base for the Miami Marlins, and that's what they got in Luis Arez. Luis led MLB for most of the season on batting average last year, and even though he's not a plus home run hitter, he can still do just about all the right things except defensively to provide that offensive energy, like I said again. I think they lost because Pablo Lopez, I think, is going to come right into a good situation right now where Minnesota just re-signed Carlos Correa, has numerous prospects being ready to get called up. I think him being a mid-rotation consistent starter, in fact, is Pablo Lopez's strong suit. And so, he slides easily into this depth chart, unlike Arez, where Arez, yes, he's going to provide you some offensive boost, but isn't quite going to say fill all spots for Miami's defense right now. And some of offense, so, the Marlins could stand to add some more quality offensive depth, but the Twins, Pablo Lopez, he slides right easily into the rotation. And think with Joe Ryan, Sonny Gray having a fantastic year last year, one of his best seasons, Sonny Gray. Some people will just believe that. The big market got to him. He was more of an Oakland Athletic or now Minnesota Twin. So I like the rotation. I especially like what is happening right now in Minnesota. Is USC and Texas on the verge of flying high in college football again? Well, the Texas Longhorns just brought a transfer from Georgia, A.D. Mitchell. And they also recruited the son of Cooper Manning, Arch Manning. And so with them going to SEC, on USC, instantaneously becoming a powerhouse with Lincoln Riley and Caleb Williams returning for another year, some recruits coming along as well next year. Things happening so fast at USC and Texas right now. Are they going to be able to fly high in college football again? Well, I think so. I think the two have bright futures. The two programs have bright futures ahead. And I think that it'd be interesting if we saw USC and Texas collide again. Last time they collided in the national championship at the time of the BCS national. At the time it was the Orange Bowl, I believe, the Orange Bowl or Rose Bowl. Two squared off in the BCS national championship, regardless, and went to war. Trojans and Longhorns went to war, and we saw good old days of Vince Young in a Texas uniform and flying Matt Leiner and Reggie Bush. I still even remember that one run back. His name was White. He played some time in the NFL with Tennessee, but I think Texas and USC are definitely on the verge of flying high in college football again, and for the right reasons. They're not. USC is not necessarily cheating this time with Reggie Bush or anything of that matter. They're putting on some good quality football right now and have a chance to fly high again in college football. Where should Bronny James play next? Well, it's been reported that three choices have been narrowed down in Brian James' search for to take his down to the next level, whether it's in college basketball or the G League. His best option, I think, is to go with college. And if you were to narrow it down between Oregon, Ohio State, or USC, well, if he picked USC, he'd stay in his home roots. He'd stay near Sierra Canyon in California and play for the USC Trojans with Andy Anfield, who has a great head coach. Also have Oregon, who's reinvented their program over the years, have established a little high-paced offense. And you take a look at Oregon, USC, Ohio State being, I believe, LeBron James' favorite college, even though he's never attended college. I think Brian James would be maybe more inclined to join Ohio State, but at the end of the day, if I were him, I would go to USC. All because there is some uncertainty right now in Ohio right now with their head coach and all, and them being down in the Big Ten standings. And with USC, you got a proven head coach already. And even though Oregon might be pretty good, I think him sliding into USC is probably the most ideal option, Bronny James. And with 4 minutes to close the show, I'm going to just discuss our last topic before I go, by the way. You can tweet along, hashtag join the debate. Tell me what you feel about anything I said today on the show. And so lastly, Zach Taylor, quietly the next best NFL head coach. Well, I got to say right away, yes, because he over time has established a really good offense. And has been clicking on all the right cylinders with Joe Burrow. Joe Burrow may have torn his ACL in the past, but that hasn't stopped him. That hasn't stopped Zach Taylor. And leading a very talented team all the way to the AFC Championship game now in the Super Bowl last year. I'm going to preview and predict the NFC Championship game as well as the AFC Championship game very soon this week. I'll give you my full preview, analysis, predictions on what should happen between those four powerhouses battling for all of eternity. But I think Zach Taylor, he's definitely been under the radar for quite some time. I don't hear many people mention him in the same sense as some really good NFL head coaches, and people believe that he was just handpicked for this job. Well, I don't necessarily think so anymore. He has gone to prove himself over time, now this season's make or break for Cincinnati. Back when Zach Taylor wasn't around with Marvin Jones, and before Marvin Jones, there really wasn't any real good NFL head coach who could lead the Cincinnati Bengals onto some successful years. And Marvin Jones, he did have some successful years with Carson Palmer, Andy Dalton, AJ Green, Chad Ochocinco, and many others. But who can forget Von Berfecht? He was troubling, to say the least. He was troubling. Marvin Jones, he had fought with some egos in the locker room, but he nonetheless led him on some successful years despite never reaching a Super Bowl. People argue he shouldn't have been head coach as long as he went, but he did provide some winning seasons, which is all I'm saying. No other coach could do that before him, except for the time Boomer Esiason was still around quarterbacking the Cincinnati Bengals. So I do think Zach Taylor is probably becoming the next best NFL head coach. If the Cincinnati Bengals can win out and continue to win out, I think he will be probably the next best NFL head coach in all of all. So thank you guys for tuning in. I'm being kicked off the air. And so long.